Within the church calendar, this Sunday is the fourth Sunday after Easter. We're still in the Easter season, and they mark these by the number of weeks after Easter. You may have caught the theme so far, whether it's in the opening prayer, the responsorial psalm, the gospel acclamation, or the gospel itself. But the fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, that all those things that I just listed have to do with sheep and a shepherd. A lot of these Sundays following Easter are given these particular names. We have Divine Mercy Sunday, we have Trinity Sunday, and today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And when I was praying about this, I wanted to know why the church put special significance on Good Shepherd Sunday. Why is it that this title in which Jesus gives himself is given an entire Sunday? When we know in the Gospel of John that he gives himself many of titles. He says that he's the light of the world, he's the salt of the earth, he's the vine, we're the branches, he's the door. He also says that he's the good shepherd, he's the bread of life. So why is it that the church, for some reason, gives this Sunday the title Good Shepherd? I think when we look at a lot of these analogies, it's pretty obvious to see whether or not these are meant to be taken literally or figuratively. As a Catholic, we understand that the bread of life discourse, is meant to be taken literally. He's not literally bread, but we understand that the Eucharist actually becomes him. And when we look at this, the title Good Shepherd, I believe, is supposed to be taken literally. It doesn't mean that he's a shepherd, but to a certain extent, he is the one who leads us. So the church gives it an entire Sunday. If we look at the Old Testament, there are also many analogies of a shepherd, that the prophets leading the Israelite people are seen as shepherds. We know in the Psalms, one of my favorite, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. That the idea of a shepherd is all throughout our salvation history. Not only that, but the early Christians saw special significance to the title of Good Shepherd, that even before art was popular amongst early Christians, when they were still being persecuted, they painted images of a Good Shepherd everywhere. If you go to the catacombs, if you look on sarcophagi, there's images of a Good Shepherd, that they took this literally, that Jesus was their Good Shepherd. So to put this gospel into context, to help us understand it, it's important to see what happened right before this. This is taken from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. And in the 9th chapter, Jesus heals a blind man, which sounds pretty easy. But what's kind of funny is that comes after it, doesn't really happen all the time, is the Pharisees can't understand it. And they don't really want to understand it. They can't explain why he healed them. And they actually try to find reasons to discredit his miracle. They go to the blind man's family and they question his family to see whether or not he was really blind. Maybe you could see just a little bit and this, you know, Jesus really didn't heal him. And they find out he was born blind. And there's nothing to discredit this miracle that Jesus did. And then Jesus calls these Pharisees blind themselves. He basically calls them bad leaders. They're bad shepherds. And it is at that moment in which Jesus gives himself the title of a shepherd. But this is the first time, as far as I'm concerned in Scripture, in which he gives himself the title of a good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd as we hear throughout the Old Testament, but he's a good shepherd. And I believe the reason that he gives himself good is because what happens right before this gospel is he explains that the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And that's why he's good. It's because he's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Now that sounds incredibly reckless from our point of view. You know, for the rest of the world, our small community can be seen as a rural community. I'm sure most of us are one or two generations if we're not on the farm ourselves. So these analogies, these farming analogies, really hit home. Imagine a rancher with a bunch of cattle. Is he going to lay down his life for the cattle? No. That sounds reckless. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because his life is way more valuable than the cattle. Everyone would understand that. His life is way more valuable. Not only that, but the cattle depend on him. He's way more valuable. Unless, for some reason, those sheep or those cattle have incredible value, then it doesn't seem so reckless. And as we think about this, we remember that in the analogy, we're the sheep, and that Jesus is the shepherd. And then we're actually thankful that Jesus is reckless. Not irresponsible, but he's reckless in his love for us. We're thankful for it, because it is only because he is reckless that he laid down his life for us that we are saved. It is only because he laid down his life that he opened the gates to heaven for us. That is our means of salvation. So we're thankful for his recklessness. So on Good Shepherd Sunday, what does this actually mean for us other than a beautiful analogy on how we're supposed to follow Jesus? I came up with 2 points. The first is that in the gospel, Jesus says that we hear his voice and we understand it. And he understands us as well. So my first point is that we cannot love what we do not know. We cannot love what we do not know. It'd be virtually impossible to be in a relationship with someone, to be married to someone who you don't know. It'd be very hard to express emotions of love or acts of love for that person if you don't know them. It'd be hard to love them. You can't love what you do not know. So when Jesus says that his sheep know his voice, is that true? Are we able to distinguish his voice amongst the noise of the world? What we hear in the world, are we able to distinguish what is actually Jesus' voice? And the way in which we're able to do that, the way in which we're able to come to an understanding of what his voice sounds like, is by coming to know him. And as a Catholic, there's no secret to this. It's through our daily prayer and the reception of the sacraments. That's it. Through daily prayer and the reception of the sacraments, we come to know Jesus so that we may love him. The second point is that this isn't just an analogy of how Jesus relates to us, but it's more so a call of imitation for us. That yes, Jesus is our shepherd. He laid down his life for us. But it's a call for us to imitate it. That as a Christian, part of what it means to be a Christian is to love as recklessly as Jesus did. Not irresponsibly, but as recklessly as Jesus did. That's what it means to kind of be a Christian. That if you love someone so much, that you hold their desires above your own. So the second point is that you can't give what you don't have. That after we've grown in this relationship with Jesus, after we've come to know him, we're called to give it away in a similar way. We're called to give away our lives in the way in which Jesus did, that we're supposed to love in the way that he did. So on Good Shepherd Sunday, let us come to an understanding of what our shepherd's voice sounds like. Let us come to know him so that we may love him. And then after we've grown in that relationship, let us understand that once we have received it, we can finally give it away. And we can love as recklessly as he did.